Let's get to our guest, Martin Haneke, Asia Investment Director, St. James's Place Wealth Management. Mr. Haneke, it's nice to have you in our studios. It's been a while. Listen to this line. Good drivers don't increase their speed as they get closer to their destination. So that's a comment from Mike Feroli at J.P. Morgan on the Fed and inflation. It seems to suggest we're getting there. Don't get reckless. Does that work for you? I'm betting that doesn't work for you, Martin.
Well, you started off by saying I might have some spice in you.
Yeah, so let's have some of the spice.
I'll certainly try my best. But firstly, just to answer this particular question, I would agree that most likely we are going to see the 0.75% increase when you look at the options markets. The stir probability is 26%, so that's not exactly a very revolutionary prediction, I would say. But I think... firstly, the events that we saw Tuesday should be a good reminder just for investors to be cautious generally. You know, Brian, I've talked about, the risk of not using too much leverage for a long time. You know that very well. And you can sort of see, the reasons for that, particularly in the last few months, why that can be quite risky on both ends, the non-predictability of markets, particularly short term, and then the rising funding cost, of course, if you do leverage. The other thing is know your volatility tolerance, don't speculate short-term, diversify, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then do I really think the Fed will hike very far from here? You know, when you look at the Fed terminal funds rate, which is the market prediction right now of where they hike to the top, it's 4.377. And I actually doubt that they can go much further than that, at least not for any prolonged period of time. And the reason for that is not even necessarily the economy or potential recession risk, but the high debt levels. Yeah. And again, it's something we have talked a lot about too. But actually, Brian, for the first time I've seen it being said by the Federal Reserve last month, there was a report out by the Federal Reserve of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, August 19th, they're actually basically saying in that report that the Fed alone can't stop inflation. I can give you a quote here. Trend inflation is fully controlled by monetary authority only when public debt can be successfully stabilized, et cetera, et cetera. If you read this, through the line. Okay,
hold on to that comment. Juliet's got a question for you.
Yeah, Martin, I just wanted to get more of a broad question. I know you said diversify, but where we actually see equities move when you've got the forecast coming through from the Fed of these potentially more aggressive hikes. Do you believe, like Carlyle Group does, that it's a good time to jump back in?
Yes, that's the multi-million-dollar question, I believe. What you always see is when there's a strong inflation number, the knee-jerk reaction of the market has always been to sell off any risk assets, and many of those assets are actually the same that are medium to long-term inflation-proof assets as well. I think what's not really priced in is that the Fed might eventually lose this inflation fight that we might not have seen the end of it, because high deficits are also an inflation driver, and it's been something that's building even long before COVID. And equities, generally speaking, I mean, there's differences in different sectors, short-term, long-term, but generally speaking, equities is one asset that tends to be more inflation-proof than, say, cash and bonds as is property and commodities, et cetera.
You like to get in the weeds on us, but I think one counter-argument is the Fed will not lose this battle. It can't lose the battle. It will raise interest rates until it shuts down inflation, and they can't print money.
So Doug, they're talking about the weak yen potentially inflating those Japanese imports. What's your view on the potential intervention we could see, given that precursor yesterday with the rate check that the Nikkei was reporting, given this very, very weak yen that we're seeing?
Well, that's a good question. I would just say, again, something quite interesting out of the box here, if I may, which is that for investors, it may not actually matter that much. And here's why. I mean, firstly, when you look at Japanese equity valuations within Japan, we are very, very low. And then as an international investor, you would get the yen discount. Now, if there's an intervention and there's a yen rebound, one might capture some of that gain in this way. But if not, I'd say ultimately, the low yen resulting in corporates in Japan having higher profits, particularly where there's any export exposure. And as I mentioned earlier, sort of as an asset class, equities generally is an asset class that can float on inflation better relative to others. So I think actually Japanese equities are quite an interesting area to look at. If one can stomach a degree of volatility, I would actually look at having some exposure. One more fact in Japan is still at this moment, there's not that great a fear of inflation. It's just only slowly starting. You see, the PPI is 9%. It's going to feed its way through. It's not as strong as in the US or in Europe. Eventually, it's going to come, though. The strong import numbers that you have seen are an indication. But so far, most of the Japanese household assets are all in cash or very, very cautious products. And I think as they get more inflation conscious, some of that is going to move back to property and or equities.
Ah, that could be good. That's an interesting angle. I know you've been pretty positive on China as well. Valuations for Hong Kong and Chinese equities are quite low. There is the policy risk, but then with valuations this low, are you getting paid to take that risk?
In a nutshell, I would suggest so. Certainly with someone with exposure that one has got already, I don't think giving up now is a particularly good timing. And as part of a diversified portfolio, I think, there are really, really great opportunities. Policy risk, I don't see it so much in terms of the regulatory side anymore. In fact, we have seen approvals just very recently of new games by Tencent and NetEase, which might indicate the long-awaited regulatory easing finally really.
It might not even be Chinese policy. It might be U.S. policy. Look what happened with biotech the other day.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Global geopolitical risk, global geopolitical trade is a massive risk. Diversification is always one of the keys, for investing, if only for that reason. But regionally, you actually, and this has been, not talked about much anymore recently, the RCEP trade deal is just only getting underway this year. Earlier this week, Indonesia actually ratified finally the RCEP deal. And while, we may see anti-globalization sort of between East and West, within the Asian bloc, there might actually be more trade happening. So there are both risks and opportunities. But overall, I think, yes, there are definitely good opportunities there.
You mentioned Indonesia there. Is that an attractive play? Is ASEAN an attractive play?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily want to pinpoint too much individual economies, countries. Often it depends really on where you find good businesses, and that might really be interregional as well. Nor would I necessarily say one particular sector is better than another. Sometimes whenever there's a very popular story out there, whether that's biotech or technology, over the last few years, you see also risks might be particularly high. So we really look at it more from a bottom-up perspective company rather than making a macroeconomic play in individual countries.
So does that also make it hard to recommend a sector or some sort of industry?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in my 20 years experience, generally speaking, whenever we see high demand for any particular sector or country, very, very often, not necessarily always, so you can't counter rely on it 100% either. But, for example, I mentioned China technology, then you see many other areas whenever there's the highest demand, usually you see a very sharp drop afterwards. So I would just say one should be balanced in terms of style. It's very important, not neglecting styles that might have underperformed for a while. We have seen that with value this year, but now also growth is getting more attractive generally.
Martin, thank you for coming into our Hong Kong studio. Martin Henneke, Asia Investment Director, St. James's Place Wealth Management, with us in Hong Kong here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.